And I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com, your place for common sense. Joining us, as always, Jeff Carlin, producer at WGN Radio, future physics teacher, my good friend, master of pies, friend of cats. And where are you? On the broken cobblestones of the Chicago Way? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Here we go. Hi, Jeff. You know, I'm not a big fan of Dr. Allison Arwadi. In fact, I'm not a fan of hers at all. She's rather a ridiculous figure in Chicago. She dressed up in costume along with the other ridiculous figure, her boss, Mayor Lori Lightfoot. They wore Corona Busters costumes or whatever that was called.
Right.
They embarrassed themselves. But you know what? Arwadi was a physician, a public health doctor, and she tried to do what the mayor of Chicago asked her to do. And now we have this flannel-mouthed Bolshevik fool named Brandon Johnson, right? Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon, before the convention here, okay? And he wants to get rid of her for the reason that he doesn't state. And the reason he doesn't, why he's trashing her is that she opposed the closing of schools during the pandemic. She wanted the schools open or tried to keep them.
Right. She tried to and open them sooner. That was the biggest rub because, right. Let's flash back into our Wayback Machine to the time, the year 2020.
Mr. Peabody? Yeah, right. Okay. Mr. Peabody, tell me.
Sure. The coronavirus pandemic is entering its probably eighth month. And, you know, kids have been out of school since February. And Dr. Arwady, who specializes in child medicine, you know, understands the concept of socializing children and being them in a structured environment is good for them. So she was pushing to reopen the schools. And she was sitting across the table from the likes of, you know, Stacey Davis Gates and the CTU leadership. And if you're on the other side, no matter what it is to them, it's you're the enemy, you're vile, you're racist, whatever it is. And in doing so, they brand Dr. Allison Arwady as bad for Chicago and as a bad person and, you know, not doing the job she should have been doing, and they had all these social media posts calling her a racist at the time. And
yeah, they beat the hell out of her.
Yeah, they beat the crap out of her, and which is what they do. But at the end of the day, she was doing her job and she was doing what she was being asked. Like you said, the previous mayor, she was loyal, even though I hate the idea of loyalty in politics, because even though I know it's a real thing and it has to happen because that's how the machinations of politics work. But I just hate that idea. They have to pass a loyalty test to be involved.
But as they, Mr. Peabody, as they kept the schools closed day after day, month after month, month after month, you know what they were growing in those empty classrooms?
What, Chad?
They were growing something important that affects everyone today.
Opium?
They were growing murderers. They were growing gangbangers who would shoot you if you didn't give them the keys to your car. They grew hijacked carjackers. They grew drug runners. They grew gangbangers. They grew feral cats, and they grew domesticated cats. They grew all these things because when you shut down the schools, public schools, as we've seen in all across the America, but when the Democrats shut the schools down, people were saying, no, don't do this. You're going to create a wave of violence you haven't really seen before. And guess what happened? We created a wave of violence, and the Los Angeles schools now are saying, hey, you know what? If your kid's sick, that's okay. If they have sniffles, that's okay. Send them to school. Now, wait a minute. What? What, you SOBs? What? What did you say? I like to grab them by the neck. What? What are you saying? Wait, it's okay now? But here's our Wadi has been destroyed. And
right.
People like Johnson danced on her grave.
Well, and it's the audacity of this guy. And we talked about it last week. And, you know,
the audacity of what?
Because he was out and about at the time of these things going on during the pandemic, calling her out. This is before he's officially running for mayor, calling her out, being part of the machine that was taking shots at her left and right. And when that stuff was thrown in his face when he was running for mayor, he had to backpedal because the public opinion of Dr. Arwady is really high. And he's like, oh, no, that's part of my job. At the time, you know, he did all the, and didn't do it tactfully, did all the explaining away of the problem to try to get elected. Meanwhile, at the same exact time, you have Paul Vallis on the other side of the coin saying, hey, you know, the school system screwed your kids over because they left them to the wild, as John's been explaining, that they let the other influences, the bad influences, sink their claws in. And once that happens, you're never getting them back. And until they go to prison or they get reform, quote unquote, reformed.
Right.
And that's what was happening at the same time. So then Johnson, now flash forward, we go past the election, he wins, and people are asking him about it, and he's getting all upset and hot and bothered. Oh, blah, you know, I'm not making decisions in front of you, and I don't have to explain it to you, and yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to let her go. I would never do that. I'm going to work together.
You said baby Al Capone. Right, exactly. I don't have to talk to you.
Deflect, reflect, you know, exactly. Right. You're a racist for asking the question. Or
sounds like Pelosi. Sounds like a West Side Pelosi. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, lo and behold, when there's a down cycle in the news in the summer and people aren't really paying attention and they're out on vacation and all this stuff, he quietly says, you know what? She's been terrible for the city. I can't stand her anymore. We can't work with her. It's untenable. She has to go. What? Exactly. What happened? There's no emergency going on that she's failing at. There's nothing happening that she's failing at. Like, this was premeditated. You got caught with your hand in the socialist cookie jar, and now you're being acting on your impulses, which just shows that you're owned by other people. Because
I have a feeling that Jeff, the next cat Jeff gets, will be named Hayek in honor of the author of The Road to Serfdom, Friedrich Hayek,
right?
And Proft has named his dog Hayek. So, what a kid! You name your cat Hayek. Oh,
I love it! I love it. No, I mean that. I hat tip to Dan for enlightening me, and I did read that book after his discussion or one of his rants on air with he and Bruce Wolf back in the day. So everybody should read that if you haven't, and I imagine most of our listenership probably has.
Sorry, I don't want to take you away from what you were saying, because the thrust of what you're saying, and if I was fifth grade or Beavis and Butthead and I'd said thrust, then I would laugh. But the thrust of what you were saying is important, because you're pointing out the inconsistencies of the left. And one other question about what this point you're making about Mayor Brandon and Brandon Johnson and Dr. Arwady. When he was doing his rants about her and then trying to walk it back, like as a polite, you know, I was just talking. It wasn't really,
who we heard that from before? Donald Trump, and everybody goes nuts when he does it. But not that I'm defending the guy, but I mean, no, but the blade left, cuts both ways.
The left, the blade only cuts from the left.
Wow.
As I've learned.
True.
As I've learned seriously in this town. Yeah. But when he pointed that out, the media was kind of like giving him a break, weren't they? I mean, every day it seemed like the Tribune was like bending over backwards, not wanting to say, hey, you're full of crap.
Right. Well, no. here's how that went, John. This is what it was. It was reporter asked the question. Right. Mayor says something that's logically plausible, plausible, but intellectually a fallacy. And they say, well, he said this thing kind of makes sense. And, you know, it's not
don't
a
rude, criticize
it's
me.
Not a wrong it's not me. Point. And, you know, it's like, yeah, good enough. And they move on. You know, that's essentially the bar for this guy. It's like, good enough of an answer. Well, I'm satiated. I don't need to know anymore. It's fine. Let's move on. You know, that exactly. Or it was, he's talking about that, and all of a sudden, you know, Bernie Sanders shows up in town and no one forgets all about it because Bernie Sanders is more interesting and more important than Dr. Arwady. So
shiny object.
Yeah, exactly. The bright shiny object in the corner. Yeah, that's, I mean, this guy is just not.
There is not a day.
Doing his job.
Okay, everybody, listen to this, Chicago and Jeff. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not told by somebody, oh, I wish Paul Bellis was the mayor of Chicago, not this clown, Brandon for Johnson. Let's go, Brandon. But, you know, the thing is, you have to vote for your people. And people didn't vote for Paul. They, you know, they thought somebody else would do it, or they were afraid, oh, if I vote for him, maybe somebody, if I support him, maybe somebody will think I'm
right.
I'm a right winger. Like,
right.
Like if I go to this movie about the Cass wrote about the child trafficking, am I going to be QAnon? Oh, I can't. No, my friends won't like it. Oh, I'll just stay away. I'll just close right. my shell like a little hermit crab in your cave, you know, with Squidward tentacles or whatever, Krusty Krab or whatever that. You know, SpongeBob SquarePants. I can't really figure out what they all did. It's been a long time since.
Well, you know, the genesis of that whole thing is they're living under Bikini Atoll. So after the testing the nuke bombs over them, the writer's like, oh, it must be a world living underneath them that's now radioactive and alive. That was the whole premise of
SpongeBob. I see. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'm sure the Krusty Burgers were good. If I have my cartoons right.
But, I think,
the point being that not a day goes by without somebody regretting what they have. But you know what? They have it, and you might as well eat it, Chicago. put a big plop on your plate. You know, get a big spoon in there, like the Aunt Ida's horrid green jello with the floating chunks or something like that. You know,
used to make that. That's great.
Quivering plop. You know, cover it with Miracle Whip and say, oh, this is so good, Mayor Johnson. This is so good. Right. And meanwhile, Dr. Arwady's reputation has been trashed. And, you know, she's a big girl. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, her record, you know, speaks for itself. You know, the people who really need her are going to find her, and she's going to do great things. I mean. Yeah, people, you know, you may not have liked her during the pandemic for whatever your reasoning, but both sides hated her equally, so that means she was doing a good job.
Or maybe she was just a good PR person because one side didn't hate her as much as they should have.
maybe, but yeah. But I like to look at it the other way, but I get your point.
The point being that Johnson's trashed her.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Unjustly.
And, you know, these are not the questions that you think of when you're lying face up on a sidewalk. And you know what? One interesting thought experiment. Lie down, pretend you're on a sidewalk. And everybody who walks up to you comes to talk to you in your living room, clean. You're clean on the clean floor, and you see them, and their heads are upside down because that's what happens. I don't know. That's physics or something, physics teacher. Light refracting or something. Anyway, whatever. And everyone's upside down, and that's what happened to me on the street.
Right. So set the scene. A busy Friday evening.
No, it wasn't busy. It was Thursday evening.
Oh, sorry.
Beautiful, Thursday. Beautiful evening in Chicago, and it was a ghost town.
Wow.
Pardon me?
Well, yeah, I mean, I forgot where you were.
Yeah, it was at LaSalle Street, 300 North LaSalle Street at the river, a ghost town. And I was talking earlier in the evening, I'm talking to two guys who are like, obviously, they're bearded and they're buffed and they like look like they've been working out like furiously 15 minutes before showing up there. And their muscles are rippling in these black t-shirts. And I'm like, what's going on with the get-ups, you know? And they're like, we're working. I go, no shit, you're working. If you weren't working here, I'd be freaking out. What are you doing? They're like, oh, we're doing security. I go, oh, I get you. You know, security, like, because sure. you can't go downtown and walk around downtown by yourself, you know, or with your wife and spend money, because you're a fool if you do. And I was a fool. So I'm downtown. It's 11 o'clock. I'm with two physicians, friends of mine, one, the writer and former congressman, Greg Gansky, and the other, Tom Musto, who is a plastic surgeon. They're both friends and classmates. And Greg Gansky wrote a brilliant piece for me recently on why are we rushing toward gender-affirming care when Europe is stopping to do gender-affirming care. And he thinks, and I agree with him, that castration of minor children is really not, is nothing more than child abuse and horrid. But anyway, so I bought him dinner at a great steakhouse, and I know you're a vegetarian, so you don't go there, but it's Chicago Cut.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And medium rare, 26-ounce dry-aged steak, a ribeye, bone-in, and all the fixings. And that's the worst thing I thought that I would have to do is confront my cardiologist, you know?
Sure.
But out there waiting for the Uber, John's in an Uber, and getting an Uber the first time in his life. Like, I'm getting an Uber. I'm so excited.
Your training wheels off. Gotcha.
And then all of a sudden I started slumping to the ground. I don't, what's going on? Why my sugar was okay. What's going on? I slumped to the ground, and Dr. Musto and Dr. Gansky, former Republican congressman, kept my head from smashing on the sidewalk or like the ice, as if it was like a hockey rink, but it wasn't. It was LaSalle Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they laid me out and they're called, no, you're going to night. We go to Northwestern. They're calling 911. We have John Cass from the Tribune. I'm like, I'm not at the Tribune now. And they're like, okay, John Cass is here. He's lying on the ground. And they're talking to the paramedics and whatever, 911. Yeah. And meanwhile, as they're talking, I could hear, and I stopped correcting them.
Sure.
You just shouldn't do that when doctors are on the phone. And all of a sudden, an upside down head comes into my view. And it's a guy, Southern Mediterranean features, a guy I know. And he's like, John, are you all right? John, are you okay? I go, who are you, sir? And I don't know why the sir, like, came
sure. I get it.
You know, who are you, sir? And he said, it's Chris Chelios. And I said, bullshit. It's Chris Chelios. Bleeping liar. You're not Chris Chelios. And everyone's like, oh, my God. Horrified. Like the other doctor who's not involved in the conversation with the paramedics is like, oh, my God, John, what are you? That's Chris Chelios. And I said, if you're Chris Chelios, what are your parents? What does your father call you? And he goes, Cristo. I said, what? He goes, Cristo. And I said, Re Cristo. I said, Timokanis. Said, plus he said, and I started speaking to him in Greek. And he says, the obvious, hey, what? Are you speaking to me in Greek? And here I am, like stroke victim, like spread out on the sidewalk. And anyway, he waited for me and he helped me.
That's amazing.
The paramedics came, and there was no way that I was going to be ripped off by a mob of hooligans. So anyway, long and short of it was that wasn't anything too serious, but it was a rapid dehydration affecting the kidneys and threw me off because there's nothing like dehydrating while you're drinking martinis.
Sure. And, yeah, right.
And beautiful wet red wine. Thanks, Dr. Glantz. Thank you, doctors. But
you're on the mend.
I'm on the mend now. But thanks again to Corey Franklin, another doctor, yep. and to Michael Ledwith, the famous chili raconteur, because I had columns to run while I was at Northwestern Hospital. And so I wish I hadn't been ill, but, you know, sometimes you're ill and you have to get by with a little help from your friends. And I did. So thanks, guys.
That's crazy, John. I mean, when you told me that story, because you texted me that night, and I couldn't quite get what you were saying, because it seemed like you were dictating to your phone.
And I was.
I know. And so I was like, oh, that's weird. That's how I texted you. Now, we'll touch base in the morning, because, you know, my brother's kids were here, and I've been...
Oh, you thought inadvertent butt dial.
Yeah. It's something like that. I knew we were going to tape something. We want to touch base. So I tell the story to my brother, right? I mean, he's the first person I call, because, you know, he and I are just huge Blackhawks fans. Grew up on them, and, you know, he and I go back and forth about the Chelios argument about why so many guys in my brother's generation can't stand him because he went to Detroit, and then they had a
song. Oh, no, they're wrong. They're 100%.
Right. I know.
He wanted to play hockey.
You wanted to win. You wanted to get the team support. I mean, look at the time when they were there, and it was just, you know, at that era, the players were leaving left and right. I mean, geez. Savard was, you know, Savard, which the best part about that whole story is that, or why the thing I say to guys, those guys, is that, you know, Dennis Savard left the Blackhawks because he was frustrated with the ownership. And you know who we got in return? Chris Chelios. Chris Chelios left the Blackhawks because he was disgruntled with the ownership for not taking care of the players, not doing what they said they were going to do, and actually making the team a real big winner. You know, we got lucky after guys like Chelios that we had, you know,
Taze and Renick.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, well, that we owe that to Rocky. But we were lucky that even we had guys like Tony Amani and, like, you know, some of those guys who played way above their
station.
Out. Right. And they put on a good show in the 90s, but it wasn't the same. You know, it wasn't.
Well,
the era of Roenick and Belfour and Chelios. Sue Grimson,
my family is half Canadian. They're all Greek, but the Canadian half of them are from Guelph, Ontario, St. Catharines, London, Ontario, all that. The parts of Ontario. And the one thing that in common, everyone's a hockey fan. Okay. They might love the Leafs. They might love, which I don't know how anyone could, but anyway, they care about the Leafs and the Rangers and the Hawks. And so I'm talking with Chris Chelios about, He's like, we were talking about Rocky, like, I'm on the sidewalk, upside down, in the filth. Like, I can't believe I was lying there. It should steam cleaned myself immediately. And I was talking to him about Rocky Wirtz saying, you know, that story about, you know, we've been having lunch for years and you never asked me about my hockey club. Is it because of Bobby Hull and my father? And I'm like, yes, precisely. And he's like, Chris Chelios is saying he cared about Rocky, that he cared a lot deeply about him. And he loved the Hawks. And I agreed, you know, Rocky did care about him. And our friends, Guy Ciparoni Kristen McQueary and other people from Res Publica that worked with the Wirtz Corporation helped. We're part of a group that put together a memorial service for Rocky. Fantastic. I couldn't attend because of health,
and I couldn't attend because I had family in town, and we were just
Everyone's got an excuse, and now I feel bad.
I know, but it was broadcast. We carried it on WGN live, and I listened with my, you know, my niece and nephew and my dad, and it was very touching, and you know, guys like Chelios were there and involved, and he thought, this is what it was about. You know, if there was any angst or animosity towards anyone, it went away when Rocky was involved, because Rocky was that type of guy who could, you know, see the forest for the trees type. And that service was just super touching. And as a quick aside, my dad and I were listening and we stopped and he's like, is that Marian Hossa? Marian Hossa? You know, a guy who's probably easily ranks in the top 50 players in the league all time. Right. And that the reverence that he had for Rocky, a guy who, you know, who didn't speak the language super well, but knew the culture of the family and knew what he was trying to do here. And Hossa gave up a lot to be here long term and to be the player that they were able to help build that franchise around. And to hear him, my dad says, what is he, you know, his English is so good. What's going on? And so he's got time to practice, you know, he's not doing everything else to keep his body in shape. He's working on his English. And that was just so, so cool to hear him talk so highly of Rocky. And
Marian Hossa, the hockey player from Stars Ljubljana, Slovakia.
Yep.
What a player, right winger. Yeah, yeah, what a player. What a player. We're lucky to have that. Chicago has great chefs, great steakhouses, great politics, even though the politics are horrid.
Sure.
But I mean,
entertaining.
Entertaining. Like, yeah, how many leaping fools are there that could be mayor of Chicago now? You know, who wants it? Who wants the job? Yeah, you know, they're all gonna want somebody else before the Democratic National Convention comes.
Right.
And notice, I want everyone to notice. Notice that the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, no one ever takes a shot at this mayor. Nobody.
Yeah.
Why? The tradition was, at least when I remember it, the tradition was there'd be one columnist who'd take a shot, not get down on their knee pads and kiss butt. Right. But I guess that's the journalistic trend now, to kiss the butt, so that the progressives that control the news unions won't hate you.
Right.
And so George Soros will pet you and hold you in his lap like a cat in Spectre, you know, like Spectre James Bond, like, hello, Bond.
Hello,
Bond. I am Spectre. Yes, right. Exactly. And pet the cat.
Yeah, you know, it's right. You're not wrong, John. It's your liberal bona fides needs to be top notch in this town to really get any good questions in or an answer or a soundbite or a clip.
It's all sideways. Sideways. Mm-hmm. They can't. Guys like me and Dan Prof could not exist in. And Jeff would be hounded out as a familiar of witches.
Well, that's
Dan and I would be burned alive as witches. Like, you'd be ridden out on backward on a donkey with a hat on backwards and all that, and out of town.
Right,
but
too moderate.
Proft and I would be burned alive on Lake Michigan, like at the 31st Street Beach or something.
No, right in front of the Lake Point Tower, Dan's old stomping grounds, you know.
Oh,
right,
yeah, there. Good, yeah.
Well, John, I did just get a text message from your friend Chris Chelios.
What did he say?
He said, technical difficulties aside, let's connect this week. So we are, watch this space. We're going to catch up with Chris Chelios.
When next you hear, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And meanwhile, so we'll connect with Chris Chelios. And you have to know that Allison Arwadi is being trashed mercilessly by Johnson because he doesn't have the guts to admit that what she did was at the orders of the last mayor.
Right.
And crime continues unabated. Thanks a lot, man, Mayor Johnson. Crime continues.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the Democratic National Convention. Murders galore. Murders for everyone. And what are we missing? What are we missing, Jeff?
I think that's pretty much it. The city continues to spin like a broken top, just wibble wobbling, and eventually it's going to come off the rails.
It's wibble wobbling in the farthest reaches of space right now, and it'll become unhinged from some gravitational pull. Notice I said some gravitational pull.
Exactly.
And thank you, physics teacher. And and we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, vegetarian, yes, lover of cats, yes, my friend, yes, and husband to Christine, yes. Hi, Christine. Betty says hi too. And me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. And if it wasn't for the Irish, I mean, the Irish are great at storytelling, not great at cooking. Like, I don't
think poetry. We're good at poetry.
We should also have Michael Ledwith on because yes. I just want to hear how the heck can you stomach ground beef and plopped in tomato soup and call that chili. But
why do you think I'm a vegetarian, John? Come on,
that's a mystery. And for all of you out there, come join us again next time. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts to the Chicago Way podcast. Find us at johncassnews.com. And you know what, Jeff and I, we love you. Okay, so.
And show us some love, too. Link, you know, rate, review, give us five stars.
Oh, yeah.
Tell your friends, all that fun stuff. I'm sure you've heard, click this, the button below, whatever it is, link that. That's where you want to be.
I've never been good at self-promoting.
Me neither.
But I think, I have to be sort of unctuous about it.
You know? Yes, unctuous. Good word.
All right. Bye, everybody. See you next week. See you next time.